All right, so we had with Aris a very big group, thank you for everybody, and our group's name was DHB Weak Themes and Reducing Demand. And we spoke about how to target and to reach people who actually buy sex and how to kind of influence them to think that there might be also signs of trafficking. So what we spoke about is that maybe we should think of new alliances also in making an impact. For example, working together with sex industry to have, for example, the advertisements or the kind of campaign materials on their web pages, because there also the sex buyers are present. And also when you are trying to target your message to somebody, you should plan how to speak to people. And as we know, buying sex is very stigmatized issue in many countries, and there are other sort of problems with having kind of testimonials of people who have bought sex and maybe identified also trafficking. So one possibility would be to use the testimonials of people who have bought sex and have been witnessing, for example, in trafficking trial, kind of to use the same kind of language that people use, the target group uses. Of course, when we are trying to give out information, how to identify or to even suspect that there might be questions related to trafficking human beings for sexual exploitation, it's quite problematic how to see the signs if the whole issue is to keep the signs of exploitations away from the buyers. But realistic information and avoiding kind of stereotypical pictures and giving out the idea that people, trafficked victims, might look exactly the same as we, all of us do, as well as thinking of the sex buyers as people, everyday people, who we all know and work with. So kind of think that also sex buyers could be one group that can identify and maybe identify signs of trafficking and maybe think of their own activities from that point of view as well. And one good tip was also to have anonymous hotlines for people who are buying sex, and maybe also those hotlines could be marketed in the same places where people are buying sex. So working together with the target group, for example, sex buyers, and with, for example, sex business owners to get the messages in the places where people are. So those were the kind of issues in summary that we discussed about. And one other thing was how to reach kind of bigger public was to, for example, have information material also in movies, or maybe if you want to reach a lot of young men, maybe army settings could give some kind of place to inform people about the possibilities that if you buy sex, there might be something else and the person should have a right to get help. Okay, thank you.
So maybe you can't read it, but it doesn't matter. In this short time we have, at the shortened time of the workshop, we thought of measures that could in generally reduce exploitation and trafficking.
We thought of measures that in generally could reduce exploitation and trafficking, and one mechanism how law enforcement can reduce demand is by being effective and being known so that there is a deterrence effect. So we listed up an intervention chain from the indication of a suspicion, investigation, court preparation of a court case, court proceedings, and what happens after the course, and started collecting ideas and measures which are actually applied in the different countries that were present in the room that could contribute to improvements. And it was a really quick round in a way of collecting things. We didn't really have much time to discuss, so I can only shortly introduce you about the issues that we talked about. So in the with regard to indication of suspicion, the early stages, what was listed was mainly related, I would say, to having access to confidential services, knowledge, bullies, whatever. So low threshold confidential services, anonymous hotline, and also helpful community policemen that are known and trusted in a local area by certain witnesses. And one other idea was that the large databases on reported victims, which do not all lead to court cases, could be better used for intelligence-led policing. In the course of investigations, it was mentioned that often something doesn't have the result that somebody is actually sanctioned, or this is much later, but good media reporting on police investigation that disrupted the crime could also help to make the general public aware, on the one hand, which crimes are going on, and on the other hand, that this can be stopped. That was the one thing. And in big organized crime issues, undercover agents from other regions of the country could also be of help. With regard to the preparation of court case, it was noticed that it's a problem that the 6 months reflection period requires testimony of the victim, and it should be given without the need to testify. The assistance that was raised. And we had a bigger discussion how court cases could be made less intimidating for the victims, and thus increasing the chance that they would participate, whether they return or not. One issue is video evidence and acceptance in the court. From Portugal, there were different descriptions how you could have recorded evidence without videos in front of judges and prosecutors in the course of investigations, already in preparation of the court case and not in the actual court proceedings, so that you avoid that the victim has to face perpetrators and witnesses again and repeatedly during the court case, in different ways of that the right of the defendant to ask questions can be secured, for example, by a lawyer who can speak to his defendant, so that this right is not broken, but still the victim is protected. And last not least, what happens after the court case? Only two issues were mentioned. One is to have contact with organizations in the country of return if somebody returns, and pre-organize support after return. Some ideas about that. And if the perpetrator is from a different country, that it is made sure by extradition and a re-entry ban, that the person cannot come back into the environment where the exploitation has taken place.
We were several people in the group, but our I cannot remember the name. He was very nice, but he had to leave. So we were a little bit lost. Anyway, I think it was a very interesting subject. And there is another person that I don't know where he's over there. Maybe he can also help me to explain what happened. We were talking about cross-border investigations, and that's a very interesting issue and very important, either for the court people like judges and prosecutors, but also for lawyers and for the people involved, of course. The main idea that came out from the group, I think it was that there are joint investigations between countries, but and Europol and Eurojust can organize these groups, these joint investigations, and that's a very easy and very easy way to facilitate investigations and the connection and the cooperation between countries, which is of course very important. One of the things that that I stayed in my mind was that even though I realized that these investigations are going on between these countries and that they are good for the investigation and for the cooperation between the countries, and there is a very good support from the from these European institutions, I think it's also it would be important to know about the results of those investigations, and not only about the victims' repatriation, which was one of the main concerns, was the victim, and of course it's very important because the victim is a very important person in the situation, but also what happens to the traffickers. Are there results about that? Is it working? What real case and what real measures are being taken in the different countries that we can talk about? What objective situations can we see? What objective cases can we talk about? And what can we learn for these real and concrete situations? Because sometimes we are very theoretical, but in practice, life is quite different. And it's not only different, it's sad, and there's a lot to be done. So I think it's very important. It's a very important team. We are Portuguese. We have a lot of... I live in a very, very close to Spain, and I know there are Spanish people, and Greece lives very close to Romania, and our leader of the group was a Romanian officer. And so I think we all relate to the others, and we are all close to borders and to different situations. So I think this team is really important, and also, of course, for the concrete team of this seminar, the reduce of demanding, because the reduce of demanding, I don't think it's working. I think it's increasing. So we have to think about that. Thank you.